Well, that was excellent. Thank you very much for that. That was a great job with the music there by our worship team today. It's been an interesting week. Before I pray, I want to bring some things forward that maybe we could pray as a church family throughout the week. One of my youth from Stettler was involved in kind of an accident earlier this week, and he had some serious spinal injury. And he's not really able to move that well right now. And the doctors say he's probably got maybe an 80% chance of getting decent movement back. So if we could keep that in mind as we pray for stuff just going on around. And Isaiah also had like some sort of appointment with regards to, they just kind of see where they're at for like a two-year-old, just to see if they're responding the way they should. And he's actually a little bit underneath where he should be, so if you guys wouldn't mind praying for that as well, that would be really cool. Thank you. I'm just going to pray here. Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you continue to give us, and just for sending your son. And we're just blessed to have what we have and be able to do what we do, Lord. And so we pray for those who are broken and those who are sick right now. And there's tons probably in our congregation right now who are just feeling that way. And we just pray that you lift them up, Lord. Come alongside them with your Holy Spirit and just heal them from their brokenness. Jesus, we just thank you for healing that is offered through your Son. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm not a big traveler, right? I hate traveling. And by traveling, I mean getting on the airplanes and going to a different destination. I hate being on airplanes. And worst of all is you've got to go through the horrible process of going through screening, where you gotta get your bags x-rayed and your body checked kind of thing. And those people I just find to be miserable. I was actually one of them. When I was in Calgary, I worked as a screening officer for several years, full-time, while doing school full-time. And it was just an unpleasant situation. You're invading people's privacy and you're like touching them and such, and you're looking through their bags, and people are just not a fan of that. But there's a reason that it's that way. There's a pattern that is set up, right? There's one time I was working on the checkpoint. I had that fancy little handheld metal detector, and I'm going through my pattern. But I was like, that day I was kind of not in the mood for doing it. And so I'm kind of talking with the guy that's on the x-ray, who was my really good friend. I'm just chatting back and forth with him. And I kind of finished the guy that I was searching. I'm like, all right, move on, you're good. And as soon as I said, you're good, I knew that I'd made a huge mistake right there. You see, the airport authority would actually run tests against us to see if we could catch all the threats that were going through. Whoops. I had failed miserably that day. I didn't follow the correct pattern. I didn't follow what I was supposed to be doing. And because of that, I let a dangerous item get through. Thankfully, it was just a test. But even then, it kind of opened my eyes up to exactly what had just happened. I had failed big time. Think of the damage that could have been done, because this guy had a knife that was stuck inside of his sock that I didn't check thoroughly for, and I just let him kind of go. He could have gone on and done exactly what happened back in the 9/11 times there. How tragic would that have been? I would have been responsible for the suffering and pain of others. One person could have been killed. The whole plane could have been taken down. But like I say, thankfully it was just a test. And as I sat in the punishment room, the guy that I was talking to who had performed the test, he was super nice about it. And I was like, I'm hard on myself. I beat myself up pretty good when I make a mistake. And he's just like, you know what? To err is human. And I got thinking about that this week, and I was like, to err is human. Wait. To err is human. Really, is that a fair thing to say that we develop this parable or this kind of philosophy that's not biblical, and we just kind of throw that down on our lives and say, to err is human. It happens. It's life. To err is human, or to sin is human, it can't possibly be truth. Because when I look at it, the fullness of humanity was discovered in who? In Jesus Christ. And we're going to look through John 1, and we're going to go 1 to 14 this time. So, we're going a little further. But it's just going to point out that, okay, for us to just kind of nudge off like, we're just human, it might not necessarily be the best response that we can have. Because Jesus Christ set a pattern for us, a pattern of humanity and what it truly should look like. Here's how it goes. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's with God in the beginning. And we already knew that from last week. Hopefully we were paying attention. And here it continues on saying, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is a continuation of last week, where I talked a lot about the divinity of Jesus. And this week we're going to talk about the humanity of Jesus. 100% divine, 100% human. That is super awesome. And once again, as I look at the patterns that Jesus has established for us and the humanity that we should live up to, I think of this quote from an old professor of mine who works at Amrose. He's actually a good friend of mine as well. I go to Taco Bell with him quite often, and he's just a good guy. Here's what he says in his book: yet the holiness of Jesus is not limited to his divine nature alone. Just as he is not partly divine and partly human, he is not partly holy. Jesus is holy in the entirety of his being, fully God and fully human. And as the measure of true humanity, Jesus is also the measure of what it means for humanity to be holy. This means that when one wants to know what human holiness looks like, one needs look no further than the life of Jesus. Jesus was a human. He displayed it all for us. He had this pattern set out in his life of how he reacted and interacted with people. He demonstrated what it was like to be the loving person that he truly was. You see, we're going to look at some aspects of his humanity. He experienced things like exhaustion. Matthew 8, 23 to 27. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. A windstorm arose on the sea so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. He fell asleep. He was exhausted and he fell asleep. He had just been preaching to people for like quite some time. And he was exhausted and he needed sleep. Displaying the humanity that Jesus possessed, he went through exactly what we can go through, what we can experience. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to be broken. There are actually times in our scripture as well that Jesus misunderstands things that are going on around him. And that lady reaches out and touches his cloak, and he's like, whoa, who did that? He's wondering what happened. Remember, it just kind of reminds me, like, you know, I think about pain and, like, why would God want to come in human flesh and experience some of the things that we experience? I played football, and I was not very good at it. There's a reason why I ended up coaching. As I was going out to make a block, I didn't raise my head up. I kept it down. So I ran into a big, fat person. No offense to that person, but football players are usually big. I ran into them with my head down. Instant neck pain. I couldn't move my neck for a week. And this is the frailty that Jesus takes on. That is unbelievable. Why, oh Lord, would you kind of come down in this humbleness, a new human body, and experience that, what we go through? He experienced sadness and anger. When his friend Lazarus had passed away, he wept. When his father's temple was abused and misused, he was angry. He threw tables around in anger. You can't really blame him for that. It's a holy anger that he brings about. You see, the incarnation, the humanity that Jesus experiences is exactly what made it possible for Jesus to die. It wasn't a hologram. It wasn't some sort of mystical superpower that he was given. All of a sudden, he's like Superman, and he's on the cross, and he's like, I feel no pain. He was on there experiencing every single strike and blow beforehand as he's getting whipped with the cat of nine tails and the nails in the hands and feet, unable to breathe, suffocating as he's on the cross. Hebrews 10:4-7 says this, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, see, God, I have come to do your will, O God. Last week we identified Jesus as the one who was that atonement sacrifice. For all, he was pure, he was holy. He was exactly the pattern that we as humans should live up to be. He was designed that way. Sorry, we should be designed that way. We weren't created initially to be the stumbling failures that we ended up becoming. But the beauty part is God still loves us. In spite of our flaws and our weaknesses, in spite of the patterns that we break and we start up new patterns thinking they're great, he still loves us. The very name of Jesus carries with it the meaning of Savior. Matthew 1:21, speaking to Mary, she will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Literally means the Lord is Savior. So cool. It demonstrates the humanity that we should be striving to live up to. It's very easy to go through the Gospels. And I challenge you to do that one day and just go through it and look at the patterns of humanity, yet the patterns of holiness that Jesus has established within our lives. See, he's not just taking away silly water bottles at like an airport like I used to do. He's actually keeping us safe in other ways from death, from a world full of suffering and pain if we don't embrace him. As I continue on, I'm talking about the pattern that we are to live by in Jesus. I think about home economics. Yes, I took home ec. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I liked the food. All right, it was good food in there, and I usually didn't pack lunch, so I was like, this is great. I'm getting my food on right here. But anyways, in a home ec, you had to do sewing as well. I actually got pretty good at sewing. There are some pants that I have that when You know, my belly got a little too big, the button snapped off, I sewed it back on. But we in home ec, we were always given like these kind of patterns and designs that we had to follow in order to, say, make a stuffed animal. Mine was a frog that I had to put together, and I'm going to say I did a pretty good job. This is grade 9. We're a grade 9 kid. I did a good job. I followed the pattern to a T. It was pretty cool to see the fact that I could make something because I followed something in such a certain fashion. Jesus is that pattern. He easily demonstrates it to us all throughout the Gospels, like I say, right? He's very much the fullness of man. He's the fullness of it. We don't need to look towards, like, you know, the flaws that we have as people. Sometimes we do that. We pick on ourselves so much. I'm the worst at that. We don't need to look at that necessarily and be like, well, I'm really terrible at this. As you guys will discover, I'm horrible at administration. That is something that I don't need to get caught up in and be like worked up all about. Be like, I suck at administration stuff. I'm the worst human ever. It's not what Jesus wants for us. That's not the pattern he set for us. But he set a pattern of love and acceptance for even in those weaknesses. I always think one of my favorite parts of John is John chapter 4, where he starts talking to the lady at the Samaritan lady at the well, and he just loves on this lady. And she's like, I'm the worst human ever. I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. And talks about all the people that she is literally sleeping with at that time. And Jesus is like, that's great. Let me tell you about myself. And points her towards Jesus Christ, the human, the divine one. It's unbelievable that all throughout Jesus' life, he does display this pattern of love and acceptance. But he also knows that he's going to die for all humankind on that cross. Mark 8:31, then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And in Mark 9:31, he continues on saying, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is to be betrayed in human hands, and they will kill him. Can you imagine? That would be so devastating, knowing exactly how you're going to go. I'm going to go in the worst possible way you could think of, suffering on a cross. And Jesus in his humanity still continues on, knowing full well he's going to experience that pain, he's going to experience that suffering. He doesn't get his strength from the sun like Superman. He doesn't have a fancy little green ring like the Green Lantern. He's just a human experiencing at this time. This is a man who at one point in time cries, oh my God, why have you forsaken me? Similar to things that we cry out when we're broken, going through hard times. He cries out. And it's the human that also says it is finished. As he completes God's work on the earth. And carries out the death. And as I think about that, I can't help but sometimes think about just the simple pattern that he laid out. I remember back in the school days, oh, this is so frustrating for me because it was like grade 1 or 2, I think, and we began the spelling and the writing. Cursive writing. I don't think they even teach that in school anymore, cursive writing. But anyways, we began that unit. And on it, you'd always get there's the two lines with the little dash, dash, dash in the middle. And you had to start writing down exactly how it looked in the example just above it. Yeah, I was always outside of the lines. I did a terrible job on that one. But it's more of the same of how we need to follow in that same pattern, how we need to set things up for ourselves in order to live a life closer to that of our Father. He demonstrated what our lives should look like. He's the pattern left for all of us as humans. And we can't be satisfied with continuing asking what it looks to be like Jesus, what it looks like to live that out. We have to eventually embrace it and grasp it and be like, I know what Jesus did. We can't play clueless anymore because we have his word before us. We have his spirit in us. And it's not okay for us to say, I can't live up to that. Created us in his image. We are created in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to live out to that fullness of humanity. 1 Peter 2:21 to 22 says this, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. I was just thinking about, like, can you imagine if we all started to try and sing music together without somebody kind of demonstrating how it goes from the front here? That could get kind of messy, right? We'd be all over the place, off key. I'm off key anyways. That's usually why there's a bubble around me where nobody's sitting. Can you imagine that? We would just be all over the place. But here we have our choir director in Jesus guiding and directing. And it's so easy to follow. It's in this book. Actually, it doesn't take too long to read, especially the Gospels. Through Jesus' humanity, we are cleansed. We are sanctified by the blood he shed on the cross. He became like us. He had flesh and blood. Through this we know he understands the value of life. You know, the value of life that we seem to throw around so carelessly nowadays as I'm like doing airport security and just going through the motions on the metal detector because I want to go and talk to this person. That humanity that we just seem to brush by as we're sometimes doing 112 on the highway here. At least I am, just to get to a destination where we cut people off in traffic, where if someone's having a hard day at Starbucks and they're serving you and they're miserable and you're like, oh, I'm complaining. I'm getting the notepad down right now. We all go through those things. We can't cheapen humanity. God doesn't see us as something cheap. He doesn't see us as something that needs to be thrown away. He loves us so much so that he comes in the flesh. He literally takes on a broken kind of body and is just willing to get beat up and torn to pieces for the sake of us. That's unbelievable. As I even think about that, I'm like, I look at these steps here. And all of us as parents or grandparents or even like young kids, you know, at one point in time, you didn't know how to walk up those stairs. You didn't know how to. And one thing I've learned through Isaiah and as many falls down the stairs so far, is we actually have to help him learn how to do the stairs, right? We have to help our children out. We have to help out in order to figure out how something as easy as the stairs can be handled. We have to help them with speech. Like I was saying earlier, Isaiah's a little bit behind. We have to help him with his speech, something that comes so easy to us and we take for granted as especially people like me, just talk nonstop. Just take it for granted. And then God's like, you know what? I'm the loving Father. I'm going to show you those easy steps. I'm going to show you how to tackle them. And he did. And we see it in his word. And our hearts should just break. I think about Abraham in Genesis 22 when he's asked to do that to his son. And I was just thinking about that this morning. And I'm just like, you know, I remember being in the hospital for 4 months with Isaiah. And just crying out to God and being like, take me instead. Why can't you just take me instead? And that's such flawed thinking. This is where our brains go. And God easily does that with his own son and says, I give this to you. This is a gift for you. Something that we take so for granted is life. And it's just so heartbreaking to see. It's so sad to just see how, especially celebrities and stuff, are just taking their own lives. So valuable. I was reminded of the story of Martin Luther, and he was a fantastic guy way back in the day, a theologian, and he talked about he would preach often in the Book of John. He was a man that would literally when he made a mistake. Or he didn't follow Jesus' pattern, he would go up to his room and he'd beat himself for not following that pattern. But he tells this story one day, and this is kind of how it goes. There once was a stubborn man, and he was an unspiritual man. He was a coarse and a brutal lout. He showed no reverence to the great truths of Christianity. This is a man that broke the rules of church back in the day. He didn't remove his hat. Wore jeans. He refused to confess his sins. He probably didn't wear jeans. I threw that in there because they didn't really have jeans back in that day. But he would not kneel in reverence before the Lord. One day, as he was being his kind of stubborn self, the devil literally came along and slapped him upside the head and said, "You fool. If God would have came in angel form, I would be bowing my knee in reverence." And he continues on by saying, the devil says this, you stand here, a vile creature, like a stick or a stone. You hear that God did not become an angel, but he became a man just like you. And you just stand there. You see, God came in the flesh. He became one of us. And when we're stubborn towards his will or when we ignore his pattern, that hurts the Lord so much, especially for all he's given. Are we really living our lives after the way Jesus has patterned out for us? Is that something we're doing? Isn't? I know some days I fall very short of that. And that's especially when I'm driving. Are we living lives that pursue the fullness of humanity? Do the patterns in our lives stand out to those who don't believe so they can look at us and be like, that man's a follower of Jesus, that woman is a follower of Jesus? Or do our patterns break down? Show that we're far from that. What do they look like to God? After my huge mistake at the airport, I had to go back for training, which, you know, rightfully so, right? Because you can't be allowing people through like that or being careless with human lives like that. I had to decide to establish safer patterns. I couldn't allow myself to just go through the complacent motions and continue doing as I was doing. You see, one day later on, as I was doing the handheld detector thing again, lo and behold, if another test didn't come my way, and I know they did it on purpose, right? Because you mess up, they're going to try and catch you again on that later on. And sure enough, I was investigating this individual, because I reestablished my patterns to be the appropriate ones, I was able to find the dangers. I followed protocol and was able to find a knife that was stowed away in the food. The exact spot I had missed it before. All it took was smashing complacency and being a man who adhered to the example he had been given throughout his training. And this is where my challenge comes in to you guys. I challenge you guys to read the gospel, see the humanity in which Christ displays and how he lives his fully human, fully divine life, and the patterns that he established and how we need to grasp onto those and be people who are Christ-like. It's our namesake, right? Christians, to be Christ-like, to follow his patterns, the sewing patterns, the spelling patterns, the blueprints for the house. All the same, it's been given to us. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up here as I close in prayer. And I just want us to think about the whole, what does the pattern of our lives look like? Are we sending a message to those outside the church that, you know, this is who Jesus is? This is the love that Jesus gives? I know I fall short sometimes. My prayer is that we can realize those mistakes, train ourselves, and get a little better. Lord Jesus, we just cry out to you today. And we thank you for just becoming man and breaking yourself on that cross for us. Words can't even describe exactly how our hearts should be feeling for the amazing work that you did on that cross. Suffering in one of the most brutal fashions possible, just so we may live. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So, Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is.
Nothing compares to this.
What a wonderful name it is. the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, Viltor before you, silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, you and forever God you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Thank you. Go in peace.